the thrust of the shir is the following. Not many people are aware that is in terms of the general public. It's really not necessary for them to know, but there have been very few debates, differences of opinion in halacha, where somebody went ahead and wrote an entire sefer in order to establish the validity and truthfulness of his position. Not that he wrote a little article or just whispered to his second in command, Osir or Mutter, but in great detail described exactly what he was doing and why it was correct. And that was Rav Kook with regard to the Heta Mechira. It was published in 1910 for the first time and has been republished a few times since then. The Sefer, as Rav Zevin says about it, is a masterpiece of halachic writing. It's a gem. Very few like it. And what always struck me as unusual, there are three parts, or maybe you can even call four parts to the Sefer. There is an introduction of Hashkafa about the significance of Shemitah, which is classic Rav Kook. So difficult to understand, such profound poetic language. Then comes the Mavoh. The Mavoh is an introduction. There are 15 chapters in the introduction. Those 15 chapters are the ones where he establishes clearly why the Heta Mechira is good, lahalacha, 15 chapters. We're going to deal with only one of those 15 chapters, chapter number 15. But meanwhile, the rest of the Sefer, after the 15 chapters which establish the halacha of Heta Mechira, he writes a commentary on the Rambam. Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, the laws of Shemitah V'Yovel. And what's most fascinating is the same man who can write in absolutely poetic language that one has to learn his terminology in order to understand what he's talking about is able in halacha to write with such brevity and clarity. It boggles the mind. Such clarity. Nobody's ever done a job on the Rambam Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel the way Rav Kook did. So that's the third part. There's the Hashkafatic introduction. There are the 15 chapters about the Heta Mechira. There is the commentary on the Rambam. And in his commentary on the Rambam, on each halacha in the Rambam, in just a matter of a few sentences, he condenses all of the writings in halacha about that particular halacha in the Rambam. And then there are about 10, 12 chapters of the epilogue, where he deals with some very specific questions with regard to Shemitah. But I say, we're only talking about chapter 15. Chapter 15 is a response, his response to the Ritvaz. The Ritvaz was Rab Yaakov David Ben Zev Vilkovsky, who was a Rav in great communities in Europe, even spent a number of years as a Rav in Chicago. We're talking about the end of the 19th century. He came on Aliyah, I think soon after the Rav, in the first decade of the 20th century. The Rav came, I think, Rav Kook came in 1905. The Ritvaz, as he was called, Rabbi Yaakov ben David Zev Vilkovsky, the Ritvaz, was Rav in Tzvat. He was the great Bar Plukta of Rav Kook. He was the one who came out in opposition to the Heta Mechira, and the struggle was between these two giants. And there was a period of 4 years in which they, from 1909 until 1913, that they communicated with one another by letter. They were very good friends. But when it came to Hetam Achira, oh, that strained the relationship. The letters are a fascinating documents. In the most probably the communication between them, the correspondence ended because in 1914 already the Ritva's passed away. The Rav, by the way, when he wrote this magnum opus called Shabbat Haaretz, that's the name of the Sefer, he was 44 years old. And he took on the whole world of Halacha. It was awesome. Absolutely. It's awesome. Ad HaYom HaZeh. But he deals in chapter 15, in the introduction, which is the last chapter in which he talks about the Heter Lechira. So he deals with something that the Ritva's, Onom Yedidi Hagoyin, you don't have this. I'll tell you when you'll need your sheets. My friend Hagoyin Rabbi Yaakov David Ritva's Shlita, in a contras, a pamphlet that he had written about Shemitah, he says, how can anybody think that you will remove the sanctity of the land of Israel in Shemitah by selling it to a guy? Through the sale, you remove its sanctity. Because we say that with regard to Shemitah Bizman Azeh, which is the Rabbanon, you can indeed remove the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael by virtue of selling it to a guy. And why are you doing it? Because the mitzvah of Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael requires it. If there won't be food, if the industry of agriculture is going to collapse, it's going to be a mortal blow to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the Ritva says, I don't understand. If you sell off the land to a guy, then it's not Eretz Yisrael anymore. So there is no mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. So you understand? You're going to tell me, sell it to a guy, so it's not Eretz Yisrael. For what purpose? To fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Sounds good? Sounds good. It ain't so good. It ain't so good. And that's the rest of the shiur is going to be to tell you what Rav Kook said. I'm even at the end. That I'll have to get in. I'll have to get in the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, at the end of the shiur. He's the one who's going to be Parshas Chayisara. And we're going to deal with a number of other giants through the centuries. Rav Kook says to his dear friend Rav Yaakov David Ritva's that what he's saying is a svara. It's a nice thing that he thought of, because he is assuming that there is no other distinction to Eretz Yisrael except an Eretz Yisrael in which you fulfill the mitzvot hatluyot baretz, an Eretz Yisrael in which you fulfill the mitzvot that depend on the land. And if you're not fulfilling the mitzvahs that depend on the land, Eretz Yisrael has lost all its distinction and all its uniqueness. It's all over. So he says, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. And the rest of the shiur is going to be to describe and to define the fact that Eretz Yisrael is singular and unique on two separate and distinct levels. There is a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, a sanctity Eretz Yisrael that is totally independent of any mitzvah. And then there is also an Eretz Yisrael in which you have mitzvahs of Truma and Maisa and Shemitah. He gives, I'll give you a number of examples. And the Rav Kook gives one main example. He says that the Ritva's is assuming that Eretz Yisrael is a hechsher mitzvah. Having Eretz Yisrael is the preparation to fulfill a mitzvah. If I don't have Eretz Yisrael, I can't fulfill the mitzvah of Truma, Maisa, Shemitah, and all the rest. You know, the example that I want to use is building a sukkah. Now, building a sukkah, really, in and of itself, is not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to eat in the sukkah, to sleep in the sukkah, to study in the sukkah. So what's the building of the sukkah? The building of the sukkah is the hechsher mitzvah. It's the preparation for a mitzvah. In a sense, this is what the Ritvaz is saying. Eretz Yisrael has no uniqueness or distinction in and of itself. Eretz Yisrael is the sukkah through which you will be able to fulfill the mitzvahs. Rav Kook says, not true. The first half of this year, the Rav is Rav Kook. The second half of this year, the Rav is Rav Soloveitcher. He gives a far better example, but I just wanted you to understand. He says, that's like somebody saying that the singularity of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, studying Torah, is so you should know what to do. That would mean that the study of Torah is in and of itself not a mitzvah. The study of Torah is only so that you should be able to know what to do. That's not true at all. There is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there is a sanctity of Torah. That it makes no difference what one is learning, even if the learning is something that will... one is studying about something that does not apply at all in our time or in any time. There is a sanctity, a holiness to Torah that studying Torah, even if it's not for some practical end, to know how to perform a mitzvah. Because there are two parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah so that you should know what to do. And then there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah studying God's word, God's Torah. And he says, take a look. There's even a power and a strength to studying Torah that's not practical. And he brings the famous Gemara that says, Kol Halomed, whoever studies the parsha of the Korban Olah, it's as though he brought a Korban Olah. Somebody who studies the parsha, reads the parsha of Korban Chatos, it's as though one has brought a sin offering. That means that there's an awesome power and a strength to Torah that is studied for its own sake, not for the practical reason of knowing exactly what to do. Because there are two parts. They're separate, they're distinct. Two parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He says the exact same thing is true with regard to Eretz Yisrael. There is an innate, natural, inborn sanctity to Eretz Yisrael that is totally independent of fulfilling the mitzvahs of the land. To fulfill the mitzvahs of the land, then depending on what mitzvahs they are, there are all sorts of requirements. There are certain mitzvahs that we have to be balabatim, we have to conquer, the land has to be ours. A mitzvah like Shmit and Yovel requires kol or rov yoshveho, all or most Jews here in Eretz Yisrael. There were years that we were off in exile. So what does it mean? Rav Kook says, and when we went off into exile, you understand, 70 years of Golas Bavel, Eretz Yisrael given, it was just like any other land on the face of this earth. He says, no, absolutely not. He even quotes famous Gemara about the Sifrei says this in Parashat Re'eh. They list rabbis who were on their way out to Chutz Laretz. It says like this: Etzem Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael Mitzad Atzma, living in Eretz Yisrael, even if one cannot fulfill the mitzvot tatluyot baretz, living in Eretz Yisrael itself is shkula. It's equal keneged kol ha-mitzvos. It is equal to all mitzvos in Torah. And included in all the mitzvahs of the Torah are also the mitzvot tatluyot baretz, which means living in Eretz Yisrael stands higher than that. To fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, it is not at all in any way, shape or form dependent on the ability to fulfill the mitzvot that are related to the land. And he says, he brings the Sifri, pasuk says at the end of Parashat Ve'evi, Yoshafto Baratzam, you will live in their land. Meisa, the story was told of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Matya ben Chedesh, Rabbi Chanina ben Achir, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yonatan, Shahu Yotzim with Chutz Laretz. They were going out to Chutz Laretz, the Gion, they arrived at Paltom, and they remembered Eretz Yisrael. They lifted their eyes, and tears came down. They tore their garments. They were on their way out to Chutz Laretz. And they remembered Eretz Yisrael. They began to cry. They tore the garments. And they said this pasuk, V'yoshavta ba'aretzam, live in their land. V'chazru ubol l'mekomam. And they turned around and went back home. And there's another story with other rabbis that precisely the same thing is said. So the Rav Kook says, you know what this means? Obviously, these great men, if they were leaving Eretz Yisrael, they were leaving Eretz Yisrael maybe to go, in one case it was to study Torah by Rabbi Yehuda in Nitzivim. They were going to Chutz Laretz for very legitimate, holy, spiritual reasons. And then when they come to the border and they think of Eretz Yisrael, and they said, Shkula mitzvahs Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is equal to all other mitzvahs. They tore their garments, turned around, came back, because it says, V'yoshavta ba'artzam. So the Rav says, you know what, they may have read the pasuk as, V'yoshavta, you should live ba'artzam in their land, even when the goyim are the ones who are the balabatim in Eretz Yisrael. Even that is better than living any place else in the world. V'yoshavta ba'artzam. They turned around and they came back home. It was obvious that this was a period of time at which they were not able to fulfill the mitzvah Tatliot Baretz, but the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael alone, this mitzvah gives sanctity, is the result of the inner, innate, natural sanctity that Eretz Yisrael holds. And therefore that means even before, in other words, when Yoshua comes into Eretz Yisrael, so the mitzvah begins when all of Eretz Yisrael is conquered. They're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael the moment they come in. It's only after they conquered and divided it and they start counting Shemitah and Yovel. Then he quotes at length from the Kaftor V'Ferach. The Kaftor V'Ferach. Thank God for the internet. Kaftor V'Ferach is an amazing sefer that was written by a Jew by the name of Ishtori HaParchi. Just to know that name is enough. Ishtori HaParchi. Ishtori HaParchi was born in 1280. He lived until 1366. He wrote a sefer. It's a thick sefer. Kaftor V'Ferach. Bulb and flower. Isn't there a store in Yerushalayim called Kaftor V'Ferach? Yes, women should know about the store Kaftor V'Ferach. Buttons and flowers, even though the word Kaftor over there does not mean button, it means a bulb. Not a light bulb, a bulb that grows in the ground. Anyway, he wrote a first travel log about Eretz Yisrael. He spent 3 years climbing over this whole country, marching up and down. He was the first great duelist in this country. And he wrote about all of Eretz Yisrael. And it's a tremendous amount of halacha in there. And his chapter is chapter 10, in which he makes very, very clear, that there are two levels of sanctity to Eretz Yisrael. There's a sanctity innate within the very nature of Eretz Yisrael, because it's God's chosen land and is totally independent of Jewish conquest or anything else. Proof he gives, Yaakov and Yosef and all of the tribes wanted to make sure that they're going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So where are they being buried? In a land that belongs to the Kanani and the Perizi? What's the big yichus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael? Obviously, the yichus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael is because it's the holy land. It has that innate holiness. Who is the first one to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? The first one is Sarah. This week's address, Sarah. So then he says, and what do you want to tell me? You want to tell me that during the 70 years of the Babylonian exile, Savrom, Yitzchak, Yankiv, all of the rest of them are not buried in Eretz Yisrael. They're not there. All of a sudden, they're buried in Chutz Laaretz. You understand? If we're there, it's Eretz Yisrael. We're not there, it's not Eretz Yisrael. So what were they so excited about going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? He says, obviously, it's clear. Vim Shema, he says, at one point he says, and if Ezra would not have returned and taken Hebron and Shechem and Derech Ephrat, that's where Rachel is buried. The Timnat Serach is where Yoshua was buried, and Givat Pinchas where Pinchas HaKohen was, and Shol ben and Givah, the place called Givah in the land of Binyamin, Ha'avos HaKedoshim, the holy fathers, and Rachel Imenu, and Yosef HaTzadik, and Yeshua ben Nun, and Elazar HaKohen, and Shol ben Kish, Ha'yu Nidborim B'Chutzlaretz, they were buried in Chutzlaretz. They were not in the category of the Chiper Admoso Amo, that's the land. The land is a source of forgiveness for his people. And they were not part of Hatov Hamagia Lamisha Kovu Beretz Yisrael. They did not have those great benefits of one who is buried in Eretz Yisrael. Ze lo yitochen, the kaft of a perach, Ishtori Hafarki says, cannot be. And on this, Rav Kook says, Elohim divrei pi chacham. These are the words of a wise man. Who amurim miyisod shodesh kedushat haaretz. He's saying it because he understands the very root of the sanctity of the land. Shehi elyona gam mi kedushat hamitzvos. It rises higher than the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael that comes via the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. Adarabba. What happens is the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael is that which puts its glow and its grandeur on the fulfillment of all mitzvahs. Torah in Eretz Yisrael is different. Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael is different. Lighting candles there, Shabbos is different. All mitzvahs are different when they take place in the atmosphere and the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. Then, of course, the Rav is going to go on to say, in Cain, if there is such sanctity to Eretz Yisrael, everybody and anybody should make it their goal and their objective to be able to come and find themselves and live tachat kanfei, beneath the wings of Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. So there he says now, in our days, after the heta mechira, which is done very carefully, and we want to make sure that it will not go beyond its bounds, and there are rules and there are regulations how it's supposed to be done, and what happens as a result of it, remember at all times, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is not diminished by a mite, nothing. The sanctity of Eretz Yisrael remains. So in other words, the Ritvaz was assumed that there was only one source of sanctity to Eretz Yisrael, which is the fulfillment of mitzvahs. The mitzvahs have to be paretz, but it's not so. It's not so at all. All right. Then he's going to talk a bit more about the Heta Mechira, but we're not going to talk about that. That's so, who wants to talk about Heta Mechira? That's so controversial, you know, who's... Before I know it, they're going to fine me 1,500 shekel for talking about the Heta Mechira. All right. But the only thing that one may say, of course, is that there's such tremendous honesty, more than honesty. The word that's in vogue right now since yesterday is transparency. Transparency. Rav Kook wrote it for all to see. This is the basis on which I have established the Het Mechira. Anybody who wants to disagree, it's there. There's nothing esoteric, there's nothing hidden about it. Everybody can learn it. Ad Hayom Hazeh. And the fact is that Ad Hayom Hazeh, yes, there are two sides to the picture, two sides to the story. At the very best that one can say in this machlokus is Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, both. These and those are the words of a living God. That's without editorializing. Okay. Now, this idea that is expressed by the Rav, and in a sense it would seem began with the Shtodi HaParchi, has found its expression in other places. Now we can take out our source sheets. All right, where's my... it's right here in front of me. Number one, we're going to do number one and number two. Number two is a clay yakar. The clay yakar, once I was on the internet already, so the clay yakar was Rav Shlomo Ephraim of Lunchitz, born in Lunchitz in Poland in 1550, and died in Prague, in Bohemia, in 1619. He has a number of classics from the Olot of Ephraim and others. It is Klei Yakar and Chumash. Parshat Lech Lecha. Vayivchal Olot had called Kikar Agad, and this is the moment at which Avram and Lot part. They can't live together. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You'll go to the left, I'll go to the right. And Lot chose for himself the plain of the Yarden, and he journeyed. They separated. Avram Yosef Eretz Canaan. Avram lived in the land of Canaan. Lot, by the way, when God tells Avram, Golech lechom yaretzuchom yuladetchol beit avicha, and he comes to the Eretz Canaan, he is fulfilling a mitzvah of Yishur Eretz Yisrael. And we'll see. We'll see right away. Vashem Omar al Avram. There are two psukim we have to deal with. Pasuk 14 and Pasuk 17. Vashem Omar al Avram. God said to Avram, Acharei pared lot mimo, after Lot separated from him, Sono einecho. Listen carefully to this pasuk. Lift up your eyes. See from the place where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. All the land that you see, to you I will give it, and to your children ad olam, forever. Lift up your eyes, see the land, all four directions, because all of this land that you see, to you I give, and to your children forever. I will make your children kafar horitz, as many as the dust of the earth. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, then your offspring too can be counted. God now gives a second command to Avram. Kum hitaleich baretz. Get up, arise, walk through the land. Lo'orko ulerachpa, to the length and to the width. Ki lecha etneno, because to you I give the land. The Klei Yakar asks, take a look at these two psukim. He has a whole series of questions on these two psukim. In Pasuk 14, we're dealing with Pasuk 14 and Pasuk 17. In Pasuk 14, it seems that Avraham Avinu is going to acquire the land by looking, by seeing. So no inecho, please lift up your eyes. Not so in Pasuk 17. He's going to have to walk through the land. Kum hitaleich baretz. Go through the land. And the kum hitaleich baretz is not simply walking through the land. It's walking with the intent of acquiring. One can acquire property according to halacha, either by a document or giving money, or walking through it like a balabuas. I'm the balabuas. Now, since the land belongs to God, if he wants to give it to Avram, so he tells Avram, make a kinyan, make an act of acquisition. Pasuk 14 seemed to require no act of acquisition aside from just looking at it. And Pasuk 17 says, no, you have to go ahead and walk through the land. In number 14, it says, I give this lizaracho to your children ad olam, forever. No such thing is said in Pasuk 17. In Pasuk 17, it only says, ki lecho etneno, to you I will give the land. Doesn't say lizaracho to your children. It doesn't say ad olam, into eternity. He's also concerned about in Pasuk 14 it says, sono, please, please. And in 17 it doesn't say, no, kum hitalech, kum no, please get up, hitalech baretz. He has many other questions, but let's take a look at what he has to say. Let's take a look at number 2. V'hakorev elai lomar b'chol zeh. What seems to me be the closest idea that can explain what's going on in Psukim 14 and 17. Shehikda HaKadosh Baruch Hu el Avram et ha'aretz liknot shama shnei minei toelet. God gave the land to Avram so that there should be two benefits, two sorts of singularity. Ho'echod ruchani. One is a spiritual, there is a spiritual gift being given. V'hu nikne b'ri'iyo levad. The spiritual acquisition of Eretz Yisrael takes place with his looking at it with his eyes. V'ha echad, there was another. He's also given physical possession of the land, the earth. The earth. V'hu nikne mikidayish amatzri. That's purchased by an act. Dayish amatzri are the Aramaic words in the Gemara that means that a man walks through the boundaries of a field in order to acquire it. Now he explains both of these. Horuchani ho kishom mikom migdash elmata. There is a spiritual dimension to Eretz Yisrael because that's the place where the holy temple below. Mechuvon keneged beit hamigdash elmala. There it is. Going up and corresponding to God's sanctuary in the heaven. And that is where, that land is where God chooses to dwell. And there is concealed all of his great might, is in that land. One who takes a look and understands what Eretz Yisrael was about, you have to understand what it's all about, becomes cloaked and garbed with a spirit of purity and holiness. And the God in all of his beauty can one's eyes see. He most probably is alluding to the fact that the only place where prophecy can take place is in Eretz Yisrael. If one is zeicha to prophecy, to see God, that can only be in Eretz Yisrael and nowhere else. Ubri'iyo bilichud. Now he says, with seeing alone, sagi la'odam liknas ha'shleimus ahu b'amokam ha'shekorolo Avram. The place that Avram called, this is the place where God can be seen and perceived. Avram Avinu is kainer, he acquires the spiritual dimension of Eretz Yisrael by looking at it. That spiritual dimension, the Pasuk says, is lecha to you ulezarach and to your children ad olam. That's eternal. It's never changing. Nothing is going to remove it. You can't sell it. Nobody can conquer it. Nobody can take it. That spiritual dimension of Eretz Yisrael is a constant throughout all of history. From the moment that God chose that land, from the moment of Briyas HaOlam, from the moment that the world was created, and God started the creation of the world from Eretz Yisrael, and added the rest of the world on to that Eretz Yisrael. And then God tells him, in Pasuk 17, "Kineged Ashlemus Hagashmi Hanikdelo Baretz." There is also a physical achievement and greatness that one gets in the land, and you know what that is? What is the Gashmias? Stam, Nachla, Soda, Vakerem, having field and vineyard. Field and vineyard. Ah, when we're talking about field and vineyard, doesn't that remind us already about mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, the mitzvahs of the land? You know how you kind of piece of land, how you acquire it? You acquire it by walking through the land, by doing something, by digging something, by building something in the land. About that he said, Kum hetalech baretz, get up and go through the land, a look through its length and its width, because to you I will give it. And he doesn't mention Zaro ad olam, ki horetz nitnu l'Yisrael t'nai, and it means to say over here, we can have the land and we can lose it. The physical land we can have and we can lose. And we lost it a number of times. So the Eibush the Rapitan, we dare not ever lose it again. The physical Eretz Yisrael was lost twice by Klal Yisrael. But nothing impinged upon the innate, natural, inborn, divine sanctity of that land. Moshe says about acquiring these two, the spiritual and the physical of Eretz Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu said, please, I want to go cross into the land and see the good land. Because when he says Ebrono, he's asking Kniat Stam, he wants for himself personally a piece in Eretz Yisrael. And there he needs to cross into the land. Just as it's said by Avram, Kum Hitalech Baretz, go through the land. When he says Edet Oretz, see what the Kli Yakar is doing is when Moshe Rabbeinu says Ebrono, he's saying two things. Ebrono is one, Ed'et Ha'aretz is two. Ebrono means if I want to take physical possession of the land, I have to cross into the land. The spiritual dimension of the land is Ed'et Ha'aretz, if I see it. Bikesh al kniyat ha'shleimut ha'ruchani, he wants that great spiritual fulfillment, hanikne b'di'il levad, which is acquired through seeing alone. And when it says over here, min ha'makom asher atasham, dainu beitel, you see, one of the, I hadn't mentioned this before, one of the questions that the Kli Yakar asks is that in Pasuk 14, God tells Avram, lift up your eyes and re'ei, min ha'makom asher atasham, from the place that you are. Let me ask you, can you lift up your eyes from the place that you're not? What does the pasuk say? And this is God's words. Sono inecho, lift up your eyes from the place where you are. So here, I didn't go into it, but he says basically that Avram then was standing at Beit El. Beit El ultimately was going to become Har HaMoriah. From that place, you understand, That place where you are is the source of all sanctity. Dahainu Beit El, Mekom HaMikdash, the one that's going to be a Har HaTov HaZevel Avraham. Anyway, Sof Dovar, what the Kli Yakar is saying is that there are two aspects and two dimensions to Eretz Yisrael. One is the acquisition or the spirituality of Eretz Yisrael, totally independent from the physical acquisition of the land. This is exactly what Rav Kook is saying in the 15th chapter of Shabbat Haaretz. The mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz is totally independent of the mitzvot hatluyot baaretz. There may not be mitzvot hatluyot baaretz, but the sanctity of the land remains the same. Okay, I'm going to take 2 minutes. Just, it's dangerous what I'm doing because I have to finish the shiur. Yes. Yes.
I was going to comment that God made Moshe to climb Mount Nebo and acquire the land spiritually.
He permitted Moshe
to climb the Mount Nebo and acquire the land spiritually.
Yes.
Both north, south, east, and west.
Because that request of his of Ebrenor, I want to go over, was denied him. The second request of the Ere Taaretz, I will see the land, that God granted him. The Shama Lo Tavori will not pass over there. Okay. All right, so now we have the Kaftor Raferech, Ishtori HaParchi. We have Rav Kook in Shabbat Haaretz. We have the Klei Yoker. And we also have the Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma is number 3 on the same Pasuk in Lech Lecha, number 3. From the place Asher Atosham, Shafono, Vanegba, Kedmo, Vayama, Kiet Kol Haoretz Asher Ataroe, Lecho Et Nenu Lezaracho Ad Olam, Ha'inyan. And he says it straight. Asher Eretz Yisrael, Mekudeshet Mikol Haratzot, Eretz Yisrael is holier than all the lands, V'hipachat Hashgachat Hashem Yisbarach, it is under the direct divine providence of God. Va'af Yad Zorim, even when it is under the hand of foreigners. The sanctity of Eretz Yisrael is never removed. You can't say it any clearer than that. That would have been the Rav's, that was the Rav's response to the Ritvaz. Nothing can change that. Yes. You're asking a question that is beyond the purview of this shiur. If I get into that, I'll never get the shiur said. There are people who are machmet who have, but that's a great machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Marit and the Mabel. I can't go into that. No, I'm backing off. I take it back. Yes. Yeah, kitchel l'shaitel, kitchel os. By the way, that halach is very important because kitchel l'shaitel, the kitchel os is lovely. The Rambam says that it became sanctified. The second sanctity was for its time, for all time, because the sanctity was kedushas hamigdash v'Yerushalayim, shchinah sanctity, which does not mean that the land becomes sanctified for mitzvahs atluyas baris. The fact is, shmita was not min haTorah during the period of the second Beit Hamikdash because he didn't have all of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Wait. Okay, now. V'chein hoya v'mei Avram, so it wasn't the days of Avram. Shashem natan lo et haaretz, God gave him the land. Asher Knani haya az ba'aretz, it says the Knani was in the land. Despite that, God gave it to him. V'avur kivrat eretz, take a look. Oh, now here I'm getting you ready into Chayesar. The Meshech Chachma says, God gave him the land, and despite that, he's going to have to pay 400 shekel kesef to buy a little piece of land in the land that God gave him. Just because he paid for it doesn't mean the land was not given to him. God gave him the land. Go through the land. I've given it to you. I'm giving it to you. It's yours. He's giving him Kedushas Haaretz. He's giving him the Ruchnius of Eretz Yisrael. The rest will have to come with conquest, with purchase. Kedushas Hashem Shor HaLords. God's holiness rested upon the land. V'lo haitau medet tachat mazel v'sarei mala. We were not under the influence of any heavenly body in this country. Therefore, the Meshech Chochma explains a famous halacha. A couple that don't have children, so at the end of 10 years, they can husband can divorce his wife, unless they go to Eretz Yisrael. If they go to Eretz Yisrael, you start counting all over again. Because the years that a couple live together in Chutz Aretz don't count. Where do we know that from? We know it from Avram and Sarah. Why? Because the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael is that which should have impact on their marriage. So this is something that was taking place at a time that Eretz Yisrael didn't physically belong to Avram. But the Ruchnius of Eretz Yisrael is there, and that never departs. That never departs. L'chein oma, af al pi shelemato ba'oretz ein chodroa me'uma ba'menet unolcha. That's why Meshech Chochma says, that's why God says, sono einecha. Different pshat. Lift up your eyes. If you're going to look down at the earth, you know what you're going to see in Eretz Yisrael? You're going to see the Knani, the Prizi, the Chiti of the Amori. You're going to see a bunch of pagans and heathens and idol worshippers that are holding on to that land. But if you want to know the real meaning of the land, look heavenward. There you're going to see the sanctity and the Kedusha. That's always there. All right. There's the next piece, really, he intensifies and strengthens this, what he says, but what we've just now done is we've added the Meshech Chochmah to the Kli Yakor and to Rabbi Shtori HaParchi and to Rav Kook, and we can also, of course, add one that a source that I'm not going to go into. I'll never get through the Shir, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri. Rav Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri talks about the Kedusha HaNigleit La'ayin. There is a Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that one can see, and then there's a Kedusha that is concealed. The Kedusha of concealment, that Kedusha that is concealed, is always there, never departs from the land. And the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is related to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, not to my owning the land. Even though Rabbi Yeshua Kutn and others say that the highest level of the fulfillment of living in Eretz, mitzvah Yeshua Eretz, is if the land belongs to us. You may not hear too much about that, because that really means that on the 5th of Iyar 1948, what took place was a dramatic change in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. When Eretz Yisrael became the property of Klal Yisrael, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, reached its peak. You have to be like a balabos betoch shalom, the post can say. One is walking through his own land. Parshas Chayesara, page 4. Parshas Chayesara. Sarah dies. All right, Sarah dies. Avram comes to eulogize her and cry for her. Take a look at Pasuk 4, the first one that's underlined. He says, Ger v'toshav anochi emachem, I'm a sojourner and an inhabitant of here. You know, I'm a nayeg kimena, but I'm living here. Tnuli achuzat keva, give me an inheritance of a keva, with you, and I will bury my dead. There's going to be a dialogue. It may seem like nothing more than Middle East shook bargaining, but that's not what's going on. There's something very profound that's taking place over here. What's taking place over here is, it may seem like he doesn't understand them and they don't understand him, but the truth is they both understand each other. He wants a chuzas kever. Achuzah means it's going to be something forever. Forever. So they said, Vayanu b'nei cheta et Avram leimalo. The b'nei cheta answered Avram saying, Shema'enu Adoni, listen to us. My master, Nesir Lekim, you're the Prince of God in our midst. B'tochenu in our midst. B'mivchar kvorenu, in the chosen of our graves, kvoret meitecha. You know what they're saying? No. You just bury her in our graves. We're going to give you our graves. I don't know if he's going to be able to get across the point. I don't want your graves. I want an achuzat kever. I want kever Yisrael. I want to establish a principle for all time. Kever Yisrael. A Jew is buried in kever Yisrael with fellow Jews. Ish mimenu et kivro. Nobody here will withhold from you his gravesite. Mikvor meisecho, from you burying your dead there. All right? As then he says, listen, I have my eye on Ma'oras HaMachpelah that belongs to Ephron. That's B'Ktzei Sadeu. And the next underlying part is B'Kesef Mali Yitnanali. I don't want any gifts. I don't want anything. They were ready to give him. Bury her in our gravesite. And again he says, Lachuzat Kever. An achuza, an inheritance. Eternity he wants. And then Ephron says, next on the line, Pasuk 11, Lo Adoni Shmoeini, Lo, not my master, listen to me. Hasod enosati lecha, v'hamor ashebo lecha nosatiha. I've given it to you. Die, you have to buy it. Kvar meisechov, bury your dead. Avram bows down, and he spoke to Ephron in the ears of the people, saying, now you listen to me. I've given nosati kesef asode kach mimeni, I've given money for the field, take it from me. The egbera at Macy, I'm going to bury my dead there. Ephron answered Avram, he said, Adoni Shmoeni Eretz Arba Meis Kesef. And he already is, he sees that he can get any price. He says, listen, 400 pieces of Kesef, okay, for that you can bury your dead. By Yishma Avram listened carefully, he heard very well what Ephron said. And Avram weighed out to Ephron the money that he had said in the ears of Bnei Ches, 400 shekels of kesef that are negotiable currency. Now, by Yochum's the Ephron, there are two psukim, just as in Parshat Lech Lecha, we compared two psukim, we're going to compare two psukim here. We'll read the two psukim and then we're going to analyze them. Vayokom ste Ephron asheba machpelah, the field of Ephron that was in the machpelah. Vayokom facing Mamre. Now, hasode the field. Vahamora and the cave ashebo that's in it. Vechol ha'etz and all the trees in the field. Ashebechol gvulos saviv within all its surrounding boundaries was confirmed. Vayokom. It was confirmed that the field of Ephron, which is in the Machpelah, which is near in front of Mamre, the field and the cave that's in it, and all the trees that are in the field, in all the boundaries, Saviv. This became Avram's. And this became, the Pasuk says, L'Avram l'mikne leini b'nei ches, this was a purchase of Avram. In the eyes of the sons of Chet, b'chol boi sharid, or in front of all of those who came, v'acharei chen, kovar Avram es Sarah ishto el ma'orav sedei ha-machpelah. Then Avram buried his wife Sarah in the ma'orav sedei ha-machpelah al p'nei mamre hi chevron be'eretz kinan. V'yokom ha-soda v'ha-mora. Remember, in Pasuk 17, it already said the field was confirmed as his. Why is the pasuk now saying Vayokum Hasoda Vamora Shepola Avram La Chuzat Kever Me Eight Bnei Ches? Surah Soloveitchik says the following. And you know, if you look carefully at that first pasuk 17, if I would be asked who wrote pasuk 17. We know that God wrote it, but what mode overtook God as he wrote Pasuk 17? You know what it was? This is a lawyer. It's a Pasuk written by a lawyer. Vayokom, now, you understand? The party of the first part of Avram has purchased from the party of the second part. You understand Ephron? You know what he's purchased? He's purchased the following. The field of Ephron, which is in the Machpelah, that's before Mamre. Now, the field, and the cave, and all the trees. Ashep, that's in the field, Kol Gvulo, you understand, they most probably have a map over there, exactly, the entire boundaries of the land, all of this became confirmed to Avram. You know what they're talking about over here? The purchase of Ashtik real estate. And this is a lawyer, tells you exactly the boundaries, and don't tell me it doesn't include the trees. The trees are included. And the weeds, everything that's in the field is included. Anything that's in that boundary. But then Avram buries his wife Sarah, the first Jew to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. You know what happens at that moment? At that moment, Eretz Yisrael takes on a completely new, profound meaning, because Avraham Avinu knew that from that moment on and further, Eretz Yisrael will be ours for all eternity. to a mama's grave, you come to a mama's grave. You never give it up. You never give it up. And that's why when the Pasuk says for the second time that it became Avram's, it became Avram's lachuzat kever. Lachuzat kever. This is eternity. This is eternity. The first was a real estate transaction. You know what can happen with a real estate transaction? You can end up selling it. It can be conquered from you. All sorts of things can happen to real estate. But not where Sarah Imenu is buried. When that happens, it becomes eternally Klal Yisrael. I want to say one further thing. You know what the Rav is saying? In the first pasuk, when it's talking about purchasing the land, that's purchasing the land for the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. When he's talking about burying Sarah, he's talking about the innate, eternal sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, which is totally separate and distinct from the karka of Eretz Yisrael. What did the Klal Yisrael say? There was a kinyan gufani in the land, and there was a kinyan ruchani, a spiritual one. With the burial of Avram, of Sarah, when Avram buries Sarah, there's a new kinyan that is being made in Eretz Yisrael, a kinyan of its ruchnius. So that we've taken you, where have we gone? We've gone from Rav Kook in his response to the Ritvaz, who seemed to assume that the only sanctity of Eretz Yisrael is you fulfill mitzvahs. If you have a het to mechirin, there's no shvius. You understand that there's no mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. Is nothing. Eretz Yisrael is chutz laretz. It's not chutz laretz. From the moment that that God created it, and from the moment that Sarah was buried there, Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael for all generations. And the same idea, as we said, is expressed by the Klal Yisrael, by the Meshech Chochma, and now by the Rav. That's it. I can't agree with the statement that you can't sell it to a guy under any condition. The Hetter Mechira was based on the assumption that you can sell the land to a guy when it's for the well-being of Klal Yisrael. And that's what the Hetter Mechira is all based on. And that's what the